we go. This podcast is for entertainment and informational purposes only. The views and opinions expressed by the host and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the producers or affiliates of the show. We discuss food preparation, cooking techniques, ingredients, and related topics in a fun and casual way. Any advice or tips shared on the podcast should be used at your own discretion. Bon appetit and enjoy the fun.
Bon appetit. Yeah, baby.
All right. So we're getting started with this podcast today. We discussed
cilantro.
Cilantro is going to be our next ingredient of the day. How we use it. Where does it come from? You know, how is it used in different cultures? And why some people love it and why people some people really, I've heard some people really dislike it.
Right. It's a very flavorful herb. It's great in ceviche. Guacamole, you know. I like to put a little garlic, guacamole, cilantro, wasabi. You know, it's up to you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've had it. So I grew up in a Spanish household. So, you know, as Latinos, we use cilantro almost on a daily basis, to be honest with you, because it's one of the main ingredients in what's called a sofrito, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's like a base seasoning that cilantro is one of the main ingredients. You know, you have peppers, you have...
Is that green?
Green and yellow and, you know, orange. You try to make it colorful.
Mm-hmm.
And onions and basically there's quite a few.
You got to have onions. You know,
yeah, I mean. Absolutely. But that flavor, it's added to the meat, you know, to rice, to soup, to basically to everything.
Do you marinate with that?
You can, yes, absolutely. So you can just take a steak, marinate it with some sofrito, and you can let it sit overnight, and it would be great.
Do you use oil?
Well, it depends on who the cook is. So, you know, everybody has their different perspectives. Some people like to use oil, vinegar, things of that nature to kind of marinate it and just let it sit in that sauce.
Sometimes I cheat and I use salad dressing.
Really? I haven't heard that.
Yeah, I'm a cheater a little bit, you know. But you wouldn't use butter for it.
No. No, that's not in the equation.
It's not going to look good.
No, absolutely not. But olive oil is huge in that equation. So, you know, if you're going to throw on a steak that's been marinated in sofrito, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to want to use some olive oil. Just not much, you know, depending on the fatty content of
whatever meat you're using.
Exactly.
Right.
So, you know, if it's going to be a high fat content, you want to use a little less. If it's going to be low fat content, then you use a little more. But I guarantee you, you will not forget the smell that comes out of the kitchen. You know, everybody on the block is going to know that you're using... you know, you're using a sofrito, and there's a, you know, a Latino family cooking on the block, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why I love, you know, I live in apartments a couple of times and everything, and the smell for some of the apartments were like.
Right. So it depends. Yeah, it depends on what culture is cooking. You know, you can tell by the block you walk down, you know, who's cooking based on the smell that's coming up in the air. But
yeah, and I'm jealous.
Why?
I don't know where it's coming from, and
yeah,
it smells so good, and I try to read it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Because part of what you eat is to, of course, enjoy it, but also to say, what, there's something about this, you know?
Yeah, there's something different.
There's something, like what, I'm catching something, but I can't identify
it. Yeah.
You know, so that's a secret ingredient.
Yeah, and then we got, you know, sometimes we have family, you know, not even family, but, you know, friends come over and they've never had it before, and they always ask, "Oh, Nick, what is this? And what is it made of? And you know, how do you make it?" But
yeah,
you know, my wife is the one who's she's the star of the show, really, when it comes to making sofrito, and she loves to cook sofrito, make sofrito homemade. You can buy it in a supermarket. You know, they have those products, you know, on the shelves in the frozen aisle. But you make it at home, and it tastes, I guess, a little. It gives it that vibrance. It gives us that punch. And, it, you know, it's much more, you know, relevant.
Well, it's individual, you know. And you're doing it with your wife. And it's a really great time to get together with each other. And it's really a connection there, you know, and when you produce something together like that, and you both have input on it, and you sit down, and then you can relax. Somebody's gonna have to do the dishes, though, and then.
So we have a rule in my house. So if she cooks, I clean.
Right.
If I cook, she cleans.
Makes sense.
So, you know, and that's worked well with us.
That's
so
how we've always done it. When I go on vacation, you know, we went up to, you know, Killington, skiing, stuff like that, and camping and A-frames. I would go shopping and plan the dinner and make the dinner, and people would help me. But after we were done and we were all sitting down and eating, then I'm done.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, somebody else go in and and I clean as much as I can.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
as I go. See, you should clean as you go.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, you don't have the time.
Yeah, but no, you give an assist.
Yeah.
That's good enough.
But this is the life part of food, is that there's a togetherness of it, and there's, you know, when you're out to a restaurant, there's an appreciation there, and you should always appreciate what you have.
Absolutely.
In many ways, not just food, but in life and the people that you know and the opportunities that you have, to share, you know, your experiences. And over food, that happens a lot.
Yeah, and you have those great memories, you know, great meals and great memories. You know, that's basically one of those, I guess you would call it like the, you know, passing of life, you know. You have food with, you have great meals with you and your partner, and then you and the family, and then you and the grandchildren, and
right. Well, and teaching people how to cook.
Yes, yes.
And why it's done that way, you know. My kids, I'm a chef, and then so I taught my kids how to cook. The first thing I taught them how to cook was French toast.
Not a bad meal.
I mean, who can you do better than that?
No.
You can't. French toast.
Absolutely
and,
not.
So, and then, you know, just showing people how to handle food, how to store it, how to get ready. The mise en place that we've spoke about.
Yes.
Several times. It's like, get everything ready. So
everything in place.
Get everything ready when, right, when you want to cook.
Yep.
And then just boom, boom, boom. You can just do it.
I'm a big fan of that, you know, and I usually, and I love those little silver bowls where you can kind of cut everything that you need and the onions and the peppers. And, you know, if I'm doing, you know, like omelets or something like that, I make sure I have everything ready. All I have to do is plop, 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 plop. That's it, you know, on the stove, and it's a great meal, and, you know, you're stress-free. You're not looking for stuff, you know, last minute.
Right, so the whole purpose is to, like, to eat when it's ready.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, boom, boom, bang it out, you know.
Yeah.
Unless you're making soup, and then, you know, even I like leftovers.
Leftovers, yes. I'm a
you
fan
know,
of leftovers.
You know, like, I make lasagnas, like eggplant and lasagna and stuff like that with no meat or whatever. Whatever kind of lasagna. But I always make it and then I let it sit for a day. I let it settle. I could eat it right away. But I think it gets tight, you know?
Right.
And, you know.
Yeah, they always say it's like better, it's always better the next day.
Right.
Yeah. Once it sits for a while, you know, it kind of melds the juices and the flavors, and you know, you heat it up the next day, and it's an incredible dish. You know?
Right, and there's anticipation there to have it again.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh man, I can't wait to have this again, but it's only breakfast time.
But
we're having a great time here, you know?
Yeah.
We're just talking, and it's food. We don't have any recipes right now going on, but cilantro? Getting back to it?
Yes.
I like it in ceviche, and especially bay scallops. I mean, shrimp is boring.
For you, maybe.
Shrimp is average.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's a big, you know, the favorite in my crib, my house.
It is. It's
but as a cook, as a chef, you know, it's
as common as chicken.
Yes, I understand. Yeah, I get your point. Absolutely.
Well, the best scallops in the world are the Peconic Bay scallops. Oh, they're like $23 a pound.
Wow.
But they're so tender and sweet. They're considered the best in the world. So if you make a ceviche, with some like lemon juice, maybe a little white wine, and tomato, celery, and onion, and then you let it marinate for a day, you're going to be eating it kind of raw, which is the right way to do it.
Oh, it'll cook in its own juices.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, lime juice, like that. Yeah, but that's besides guacamole, that's my two favorite ways to use cilantro.
So a ceviche recipe, let's say, I mean, you can call it off from the top of your head. Like, what's the basics?
Well, you have the seafood that's clean. You know,
right.
Shrimp or scallops, usually, you know.
Uh-huh.
Nothing else, really.
Shrimps and scallops, okay.
Yeah, bay scallop. Well, you need lemon and lime juice, and you need cilantro. I think that's really all you need.
All right.
Maybe a little shallots. Because we talked about shallots before.
We have, yes.
And the shallots were like our first show. And the cilantro is now. And those things hook up. I don't know. I think I'm missing one thing. But those that's going to do it.
Yeah. All right. So for those who haven't listened to our first show, you know, we discussed shallots, and you know that they're not as harsh as onions, but they give you that onion flavor, which is it's a deep, deep flavor, and without the kind of I guess you know harshness that's.
And they're pretty.
They're pretty. They're a lot of more appeasing.
Yeah,
they look a lot better. But I love shallots. I get them all the time. You know, especially with the like an Alfredo and things like that. You know, but ceviche. So you know.
Mm. Well, what else with cilantro? What do you suggest?
Well, cilantro could be used for anything almost.
Well,
you know,
sofrito?
I use it for, let's say, meatballs with ground beef, with, you know, just an all-around garnish. You can use that as a garnish. You know, you can use it.
And in a hamburger, it stands out?
It stands out because it gives you that punch. It gives you that flavor. And, you know, it's an amazing, unique flavor.
Yeah, but we're talking fresh cilantro.
Fresh cilantro, exactly. So
we're not talking dried or anything, no.
Absolutely not. So, you know, and I use it and I reach out, you know, and I always sprinkle it over my dishes, you know. Sometimes, you know, I'll kind of go between the parsley. Like a lot of garnishes are either Italian parsley or cilantro.
Mm-hmm.
But depending on what dish you want, you know, and what kind of taste you want it, you can choose the cilantro, and it gives it that different taste, that different, you know, that different bite.
Well, you know, when you go to the supermarket, you know, and I like to go when I'm hungry because they say don't. But that's when I get my ideas, you know, and I sometimes I'll overbuy, you know.
Right.
But I still like have the same kind of like, what am I going to do with this? You know, like it's like how what else do I need to do if I buy this?
Right. Well, I mean, there's in seasoning, to be honest with you, like your seasoning, your proteins. It's a huge benefit. It's a huge benefit. It adds flavor. It's you know, it's different. And that combined with like let's say a seasoning like adobo, right? So let's say you put cilantro and then you put adobo, you combine those flavors, they become incredible. And that's where you get those reactions where people are asking, and what are you cooking? Like, it smells amazing, and it's, you know, it draws people.
Well, I love adobo.
Yeah.
But if you look at the ingredients, you can do it yourself.
You can. Yeah, you can make your own adobo, no doubt.
Right.
Yes.
When I look at ingredients like that in a jar, and I'm not saying adobo does, but some of these things are based on salt.
Yes.
You know, it's salt and garlic powder and...
Correct, which means that while you're cooking, you don't have to add salt because the salt, you know, is basically part of the equation.
Right. And when I cook them, it's all about control of the seasonings and the antitives and, you know, additives and the
those things that they tell you to avoid, I guess.
Well, and what you have available.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
And what you have. Yeah. If you don't have anything available, you have adobo, you have the base seasoning.
Like, yes.
What's that called in the yellow can?
The base seasoning in a yellow can. Not.
Something bay something. Yeah, everybody knows what
it
is. They use it for the shrimp when they make a shrimp oil.
Yeah, that's the. Good Lord.
I know.
Yeah.
So.
Old Bay.
Old Bay.
There you go.
Yeah. So.
Old Bay.
You know, as we're talking, you know, a lot of different things come back to us, you know. And we could be, you know, somewhat like out of, you know, just anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we don't know what's next.
Absolutely.
Except our show is what's next. And it's WHND, Dave and Harold. It's Food Life Radio. And we're happy to have you listen. We're spontaneous. And
absolutely.
We'd love your input or output.
But I think that, like you were saying, that like making sure that the spices are right, you know, and taking chances on different flavors, you know, go into your supermarket and take a chance on a sofrito. If you don't know how to make it by hand, it's already available
in
the supermarkets.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And you're going to see, just make one hamburger. Just make one steak. Just make one piece of chicken just to try it out, test it out. See how that changes your, you know, your food palate. Like, you know, it's a new thing.
Right. And in Thanksgiving, like if I make like string beans with the fried onions on top, I'll use Campbell's cream of celery.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
No. Yeah, we do the same thing.
You know? You know, you can go top shelf or you can shortcut.
Yeah, I
it's all good. Whatever you like. It's like a bottle of wine. It's like you don't have to buy like a $40-$50 bottle of wine. You could buy a $9 bottle of wine. If you like it, then it's fine.
Right. Yeah. As long as you enjoy it.
Yeah. So the whole point is just to
enjoy food.
Make it easy.
Yeah. Yeah. And not only that, enjoy it. You know, and that's the whole point. You want a meal that you're gonna enjoy. Something that you're gonna savor and remember, you know?
Right. And this is our second pilot. We're just two guys just hanging out talking about food.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And we're glad you listened. We leave a lot up to your own thought. And we try to provoke thought on how you approach restaurants, how you order off the menu, where you are, and what kind of time you have, you know, to do anything.
Yeah, and we'd like to, you know, hear feedback. You know, what do you think? You know, it's we are all.
It's just mutual fun that we're having right now, you know? And this is one of the first things we want to put out to introduce ourselves to to all everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Harold's a smart guy.
Don't give me too much
credit. I like his vocabulary, and he didn't curse today, so that's pretty good. And
So, any comments that you have, any help that, you know, that you want to provide, and just let us know what you think.
Drop us a line.
You know, drop us a line, and we're just trying to help out and spend some time with everybody, and it's pretty cool. It's a nice experience, and looking forward to hanging out again.
Yeah, we're working at the mics and the difference and the sound and all the ambient and stuff like that. So I think this was a great test.
Yes.
You know, mind-wise.
Absolutely.
All right. So how do we say goodbye?
Well, I'd say bon appetit.
Bon appetit.
Bon appetit.
Bon appetit.
Bon appetit, everybody. Take care, and I wish you well.